Today on Seculo, Senator Marsha Blackburn joins us live. She says Biden's $100 million will go straight to Hamas.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo, folks. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, Senator Marsha Blackburn, her and her colleagues have put forward a resolution to ban or freeze all the U.S. aid to Palestinians. And again, $100 million to Palestinians that, of course, we know at this point would be benefiting terrorists. She'll be joining us. I also want to talk to her about, you know, kind of the feel with inside the U.S. Senate right now with the support. It seems like Democrats there are much more supportive as well. So we'll get into a lot of different issues with Senator Blackburn. It's going to be great to have her on because she, you know, she's very informed on these issues. We also know that there will be an Oval Office address tonight by President Biden. These are usually reserved for very serious moments. Is it to talk to the country about, now we've gotten a leak that it's Ukraine and Israel related. So is it a way to try to tie Ukraine to Israel because the bad actors are China, you know, with Taiwan, Iran backing Hamas and Hezbollah, and then Russia, of course, invading Ukraine. And also, by the way, the Russians and Chinese have now become on the side of the Palestinians and, of course, have made those deals with Iran. So they're assisting with military equipment going into Hamas and Hezbollah. So, again, there is a lot of moving parts right now in this conflict. And what we know from yesterday is that there was one major failure. Why I liked a lot of what President Biden had to say in Israel. He now has to act on it. And what I don't like to see is how his diplomatic team failed to have that meeting in Amman, Jordan, and not get more partners involved. Partners who were right on the edge or already were involved under the Trump administration with the Abraham Accord. So we want to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Because, Logan, I think when you put forward an address to the nation, people should, let me ask you this in Rumble. What do you want to hear from President Biden? And what do you think you're going to hear from President Biden? Because this, again, is usually reserved, Logan, for the most serious of moments and announcements.
Right. An actual address to the nation tonight. Again, it's 7 p.m. Central to 8 p.m. Eastern time will be on tonight. So, again, in the Oval Office. What this looks like, yeah, I mean, I think the last time I can really picture this, I know that it happened many times, happened maybe during COVID, during some of the Trump era times, but I mainly think of like the going into the war in Iraq. Like that's really the last one that I can really think of is that straight up Oval Office announcement that was made. So we will see what comes out of this. Look, President Biden has had some pretty strong language. I think yes. We've all said that, like surprisingly strong
much
language.
Stronger than his team.
Yeah, exactly. And they haven't, you know, a lot of times they make him backpedal those statements.
Yeah.
So far, hasn't really been that much.
He's got the support of most Senate Democrats. He's hearing from, I think that Senator Schumer, listen, you don't hear me say this oftentimes, disagree with him on so many things. Saw him yesterday. He's obviously strongly supports Israel and he's eloquent about it.
Historically, been maybe one of the strongest supporters of Israel.
Menendez also. And then one, my buddy who's new to Congress, but I saw Jared on, Congressman Moskowitz. And, you know, when his colleagues were pushing the ceasefire and there was that massive protest in the Capitol yesterday, they weren't in the U.S. Capitol, so it wasn't technically an insurrection, but they were all 300 or 400 people arrested. And what I thought was very important about what Jared said, Congressman Moskowitz, also a liberal Democrat on the more moderate side, is that this is the wrong time for a ceasefire and we are not going to bow to the crazies, that's my own words, in his own party. So, Logan, I think we're going to continue to see the isolation of the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars. The question is, next time you vote, is that where the liberal base is?
Yeah, that's what we'll have to see. Will they? Right now, they don't have to bow down to them. Will they have to the next time? Give us a call right now. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110.
Marsha Blackburn is joining us next. Become an ACLJ champion at aclj.org/champion. We'll be right back. to Secul. We are joined by a great friend of the ACLJ, a strong supporter of Israel, U.S. Senator from Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn. But I will say, not only does she do an excellent job representing us as constituents here in Tennessee and all of her constituents across the state, she does a great job representing conservative views and, of course, the support for Israel in Washington, D.C., in the nation's capital. She battles for all of us. Senator Blackburn, I want to go right to, of course, what is going on in Israel. Just 8 days before the terror attacks in Israel, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said this. Let's play it for everybody.
What we said is we want to depressurize, de-escalate, and ultimately integrate the Middle East region. The war in Yemen is in its 19-month of truce. For now, the Iranian attacks against U.S. forces have stopped. Our presence in Iraq is stable. I emphasize for now because all of that can change. And the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in 2 decades.
Senator Blackburn, first I'd go to this. For our U.S. troops, there was a drone attack likely linked to an Iranian-backed group in Iraq, where we know at least three service members. We learned last night that wasn't just they were able to take down the drones, but three service members were injured. I mean, we saw the cancellation of meetings. But I want to get your thoughts on the fact that this administration, Senator Blackburn, was saying that just 8 days before the terrible attacks, the Middle East is quieter today than ever before.
It shows you how they misread the tea leaves, if you will. Jake Sullivan has been wrong on just about every foreign policy issue that he has encountered. And certainly, according to Bob Gates, you've got President Biden, who's been wrong on every foreign policy issue for the last 40 years. Look, Jake Sullivan was a part of the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. He was part of the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. He has been very involved in this ransom payment to Iran, $6 billion. We all know you cannot appease these countries. Iran is a part of the axis of evil with Russia, China, North Korea. They are intent on destroying Israel and destroying the United States. And why in heaven's name this administration would continue to cajole and appease and send money to these bad actors who end up funding terrorism and funding their proxies like Hamas, like Hezbollah, to do their dirty deeds, it is beyond me.
Senator Blackburn, if this was my advisor on such an important issue, and he came out and he said the Middle East is quieter today than it ever has been, and then a war breaks out, but even worse than that, I, as president, head over there to stand with Israel. That's wonderful. But then all of our allies in the Gulf and the Arab world cancel meetings on me. They say, you know what? We're not meeting with the president of the United States. So not only was Jake Sullivan has gotten it wrong when it comes to the Middle East policy and fighting this radical Islamist throughout the region, he also is embarrassing the United States and the president of the United States, whether you like President Biden or not. He's embarrassing our country by having these much smaller countries who are heavily dependent on the U.S. feel like it's very easy for them to just say, you know what, we're not meeting with you.
And what we have seen is, as you said, Jordan, who should be our ally, Egypt, that should be our ally, you saw Abbas, they're all canceling meetings with the president of the United States. Now, what kind of advice is Jake Sullivan giving? How is it that they are content to allow us to look weak on the global stage? And I don't understand where they are going with this. What I do know and what I fully understand is with this foreign policy, people do not know if they're an ally or an enemy. And our allies should never doubt that they are our ally. Our adversaries should fear us because they should know we are going to hunt them down when they do bad things to good people.
You know, Senator Blackburn, I also wanted to ask you about the $100 million of aid. You know, we've talked about Ukraine aid before. We've talked about these questionable aid packages going back to Iran and some of those being frozen right now. But $100 million is still heading to the Gaza Strip that U.S. taxpayers are funding. I mean, this is the Biden administration. He gave a very strong speech, President Biden, in Israel. But it's always about, you know, words are important, but actions are really what determines the outcomes and consequences. And the fact that that $100 million is still, they think it's still a good decision to send to the Gaza Strip, to me, I mean, it's not just a head scratcher. It just seems wrong to send that kind of money to such an evil a terrorist organization.
Well, we know that the money is ending up in the hands of Hamas. When you look at even this last week, what did they find Hamas doing? They were intercepting the aid coming into Gaza, and they were using that food, fuel, medical supplies, first aid kits. They were using it for the terrorists, for their Hamas troops, their terrorists. So if you send more money, they are going to take that money. So why would you do that? I mean, the UN Relief and Work Agency for Palestinian Refugees, which has been around for about 70 years, thank goodness President Trump cut the funding to that. Joe Biden re-upped the funding. Yeah. Pardon me.
No problem. We're all talking that way, Senator. You've been doing a lot of work. I had that the first couple of days. I couldn't even make it into the studio the first couple of days this week because we've all been talking so much and fighting so hard. If we still got you, I wanted to ask you finally this question. As the escalation begins, it seems like it's just every night getting more and more escalated as the days go on. We now know that President Biden is going to address the nation tonight from the Oval Office, and usually those are very a moment of serious situation to take that time to address the American people. What do you expect that we're actually going to hear tonight?
I think he's going to try to sell his $100 billion aid package, which is $10 billion to Israel, more money for Ukraine, for Taiwan, and then money for big blue cities that are sanctuary cities that are now complaining about the open border and having illegal aliens coming to them.
Senator, at the end of the day, it does seem like in Washington, D.C., even with what's going on in the House, and maybe they're going to figure that out right now, hopefully today or tomorrow, at least temporarily. But it is nice to see that other than the squad, it seems like most Republicans and Democrats at least agree on this one issue of standing with Israel. Now, I would like to ask you this. Is that what we see publicly, or is it the same behind the scenes when you speak to those your colleagues in the Senate who are Democrats? I mean, I see Chuck Schumer with very strong language. I know a young member of Congress from Florida, Jared Moskowitz, who I disagree almost on everything, but is in my fraternity at GW. And we talk, and you know, he's a very strong supporter of Israel. So are we finally starting to see, Senator Blackburn, the isolation of this squad-type groups, at least in our nation's capital? We saw the protests yesterday in the Hill. We've seen the protest on college campuses. That's one thing, but at least to isolate them in Congress.
Well, Jordan, if we had a House that had a speaker, and if they were organized, they could be on the floor right now doing a censure resolution against Tlaib and the squad members who refuse to admit that it was not Israel. Israel did not bomb the hospital in Gaza. It was a Hamas rocket gone awry. And there's plenty of evidence around that now. So we hope that what we will see is groups like the squad will be isolated, especially when it comes to our nation's foreign policy, and that you will begin to see some more agreement that this country that we live in is worth the fight. Our freedom is worth the fight. We need to be strong. There should be peace through strength, and we should all agree on that.
final, I just have 15 seconds, Senator Blackburn, and really it goes to the heart of these issues. The American people stand strong with Israel. What do you think they should be doing? They're not going to necessarily take to the streets, but what can they be doing right now to stand with Israel?
What they should be doing is reaching out to their elected representatives and encouraging them to demand that this aid package be divided. Israel and Ukraine are different issues. They need to be dealt with separately. The border is a different issue. Taiwan, protecting Taiwan from China, that's a separate issue. Let's take these
one. I want to thank you so much. We're literally out of time. We'll have you on again. You're so great to our broadcast. We'll be right back on Seculum. Secular. Let me encourage you right now to become an ACLJ champion. You hear our contacts, the people we're working with outside of the ACLJ, like Senator Marsha Blackburn. I can't count how many times she joins the broadcast and our good friends. And we've got some in the House right now that would usually be joining us as well, but it's that much more difficult for them since they keep going from speaker votes into closed door meetings. And I wanted to bring in a newer member to our team. He's not that new for us, but for our audience, you haven't seen him in the studio in Washington, D.C. That's Bob Burkett. He is ACLJ Action. Remember, we announced that organization, ACLJAction.org, right on our office in Capitol Hill. He's the chief of staff to that organization as well as a senior advisor at ACLJ Action. Bob, I know people are trying to figure this out. We'll take phone calls on it, too. If you've got questions, folks, about who the next speaker will be or what could happen with the current speaker pro tem, Patrick McHenry, could you potentially give him more power? So, Bob, kind of lay out, where do we stand right now? Is Jim Jordan first? Is Jim Jordan going to get another vote on the House floor?
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. As you mentioned, it's been a busy week on Capitol Hill. Jim Jordan has taken two votes so far to see if he can reach the 217 magic number to become Speaker of the House. Unfortunately, he lost 200 votes his first, or he lost 20 members, 20 Republican members in his first vote. He lost 22 in his second vote. The third vote was scheduled for noon today. It seems like there's been sort of a backslide, though. So Republican members are currently convening in conference that started about 11 a.m. To determine if there is a pathway forward for another vote, whether that's to potentially have Jim Jordan try again to reach 217, or if it will be for another pathway forward, whether that's another speaker candidate or potentially some talk of empowering the current speaker pro tem to serve as a speaker with the full powers of the speaker.
You served in the executive branch. You worked in politics, Bob, at kind of the highest levels. And now you're in our office in Washington, D.C. And again, like introducing new team members, we're expanding that work in D.C. And this is a good way for you to see it in person if you're watching the broadcast or listening. Bob is part of that new group we brought in D.C. to really re-engage our Hill efforts and our government affairs efforts, both in D.C., but also in state legislatures across the country. So, Bob, explain this one to me, because it's something unprecedented. We haven't had this situation. There is talk right now, there is breaking news, that there could be a deal cut for Patrick McHenry, a congressman out of North Carolina. Republican people have noticed he's the House Speaker pro tem right now. He has a bow tie. I have nothing against bow ties, but just to paint picture for people who may not know who he is, because he's not always the most outspoken, cable news type member of Congress. But there is some talk, Bob, that they could give him essentially the power of the speaker for, a month or two, so that aid to Israel gets passed, other, Congress keeps moving forward, and then internally continue to have behind closed doors kind of a fight for who will be the next permanent speaker. And I think what they would be calling, Jim Jordan would also have some kind of title in this. Tell people about it. It's brand new this morning.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, we're in an unprecedented situation. Never before has there been a successful motion to vacate the chair. Never before has a Speaker of the House been removed. Ceremonially, McHenry is now filling the role of Speaker pro tem, which is just a procedural designation for who takes over leading the House during the time where a new Speaker needs to be elected. So effectively, McHenry's powers are to do everything necessary to get a new speaker elected. As we've seen over the past few weeks, that has yet to happen. So one of the ideas that has been put forward and actually been endorsed by Speaker Gingrich, former Speaker Gingrich, was to pass another resolution changing the rules of the House to empower McHenry to serve with the full powers of the Speaker of the House, at least on a temporary basis, probably for about the next 80 days. So that would help accomplish some of the things that you mentioned, which would include, aid to Israel, potentially aid to Ukraine. And of course, what we have coming up next month is there's going to be a big appropriations fight. Can we fund the government?
We're just a few weeks away from another potential government shutdown. And there's not a speaker in place right now. So is this move, if the rule change is made and each House of Congress, whether the House or the Senate, they get to make the rules. So the first hurdle, I guess, for this one is a rule change. But I could see, Bob, moderates as kind of basically all the Republicans saying, well, this is going to be a lot less embarrassing for us to keep losing votes. Gives us 80 days to go behind closed doors and work this out so that we come out next time. We're going to, effectively, easily elect the next Speaker of the House. Can they just basically do it? They've got the votes. I mean, they have enough votes if they can convince all the Republicans to vote yes. I mean, can we see this by even like the end of today?
Yeah, I think that's one of the options on the table by the end of today. If Jim Jordan doesn't want to go through with a third vote for Speaker of the House, it's very possible that I think Rep. David Joyce has the resolution that would change the necessary rules to empower McHenry to serve as a Speaker of the House on a temporary basis. And it seems to have gained traction in the Republican conference. My understanding is that a majority of the Republican conference now would support that, as would a majority of the Democratic conference. So that seems to be one of the potential pathways forward at this point.
There is speculation, Bob, right now. We're talking to Bob Barkent. You're saying, who's Bob in our DC studio right there? Well, Bob is one of our newest team members. He's not that new, but we've been, working on to give you updates from our DC team. I said, I know Bob is perfect for this one and to get us updated. What do you think, because this is going around DC right now, and that's why I'm opening my phone. There's a lot of reporters saying that Jim Jordan has decided not to hold a third ballot for Speaker. This is just coming out. And that he is going to back Patrick McHenry as an interim Speaker until January. Supposedly McCarthy, McHenry, Jordan, Cole, and Emmer met this morning. So it seems like, Bob, that is the track that they are on now. I always caveat that with those meetings can totally fall apart. But right now, I think, if this could happen, it would be a much better situation for Republicans, and it'd be a much better situation for our ally Israel.
Yeah, no, Jordan, I agree. I think, there was a chance to elect a speaker. There are unfolding crises in the Middle East. We have Ukraine ongoing, and we need to show the American people that, we're united, working in their best interests, and working in the best interest of our closest ally in the Middle East, Israel. So, in lieu of an obvious replacement, because I know there are a few other candidates that have been mentioned, it seems like the best and most obvious pathway forward is to give McHenry additional powers and move forward from there.
All right, Bob, get back to work in our DC office. Bob Barkent is our chief of staff for ACLJ Action, also a senior advisor. And Bob, I appreciate you joining us. It's first time on the air with us, but it will not be his last, especially when we get into these complicated situations. That's part of the reason why we have that government affairs team, Logan, in Washington, DC, and why we need your financial support. We are adding both space, but also staff in Washington, D.C., on the legal side, but also on the policy side.
That's why we absolutely need your help and support right now. We've seen a massive amount of you join and become ACLJ champions this month. Over 1,400 of you. Have you done that? I mean, see the most recent number. Maybe we can get that. And that is saying, I commit to being a monthly supporter of the ACLJ. We really appreciate that right now. Become a monthly donor. Go to aclj.org/champions. Again, aclj.org/champions. There you can also sign the letter to Benjamin Netanyahu. Get your name on that letter right now. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo, folks. As you can see, this is a packed news day because there's a lot moving on Capitol Hill in what will happen next with the speaker. I think Bob from our team in D.C. did a great job explaining to you how that speaker pro tem could be given potentially additional power, at least through the end of the year, so that legislation can begin again, so that committees can begin meeting again. That's very important, especially if you want to support our ally Israel to get that done. It's not a long-term plan, but it also gives Republicans behind the doors time to hash out the next speaker so they don't have to keep having these votes where they lose. So that's very important. We've been talking about, of course, what is going on in Israel, and again, kind of how all these topics fit together. But Logan, we've also got a lot of legal work right here in the United States. You know, I saw President Trump addressing a lot of these issues yesterday when he left the New York courtroom, and we've got calls coming in about him too, because it's not all about what's happening overseas right now. ACLJ's got a lot of work going on right here in our country.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of things going on locally here in the ACLJ. We are growing and expanding rapidly. That's why we want you to become an ACLJ champion. Go to aclj.org/champions. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Dee. It's calling in California. Dee, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling in regards to a concern with an update on where we are on the with these states. Like California, I know, is one trying to get President Trump removed from the state, which concerns me because they've already taken this lousy state has already taken our voice away from us on U.S. Senate. Now we don't, I couldn't tell you when the last time was able to vote for a Republican with an open primary. So I'm really concerned that where we are that we,
yeah, let me update you because the ACLJ is directly involved in these cases, trying to remove President Trump from the ballot, these 14th Amendment cases. I'm going to give you a timeline of three of them right now. And again, each of these, when we win, will affect the entire country. So whether it takes all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, or we win enough cases in state courts and state Supreme Courts and maybe some circuit courts federally, this will protect you in California as well to be able to cast your ballot for the candidate of your choice, especially if that's Donald Trump, who is the person they're trying to take off this time. I always say this time, because if they have this power moving forward in the future, secretaries of states from the Republican Party or Democrat Party can start picking and choosing the other party, who you get to vote for from the other party. So here's we go. Here is the breakdown on where things stand right now. On October 20th, the ACLJ amicus brief is due at the Minnesota Supreme Court in Groh versus Simon. That is a Trump ballot ban case in Minnesota. So that's an amicus brief. We of course, represent the West Virginia Republican Party. October 25th, our response to the plaintiff's motion to dismiss. That is that Castro guy who has been dismissing a lot of his cases when he has bad judges. He's been attacking us. I think that's hilarious. I think he's scared to death that the ACLJ got involved in this and he wasn't just going to be up against some campaign attorneys and young guys in court. So now that the court said, yes, you're in as an intervener, he wants us out, which is a pretty tough burden to hit, but we've got to fight back. So we will be in, our response is due October 25th there. And then, of course, we've got the case that's actually moving substantively. A lot of these cases got thrown out, but the one we're really watching right now, and there may be additionals, is the case in Colorado. So between October 30th and November 3rd, this case is moving forward, folks. We're involved. We represent the Colorado Republican Party as an intervener. So we're at the case. The evidentiary hearings in Anderson versus Gridwald and in Colorado and the Trump 14th Amendment lawsuit, those begin October 30th and go through November 3rd. We represent the state Republican Party there, so we will be directly involved in those hearings. So we've got one that is the trial is just about to begin. I mean, this is the kind of the last step you take before you go to court, before you go to trial. So that is what the ACLJ is doing to protect your right to vote, which is why, Logan, now is a great time to become a champion at the ACLJ, a recurring donor tell people about it.
That's right. You can become an ACLJ champion today. We have such a global mission right now happening as we want you to stand with Israel and be a champion of life, liberty, and freedom. It's easy. Go to ACLJ.org/champions. We appreciate it.
Welcome back to Secular. We're taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we've updated you on the kind of what's happening with the speaker. I think as things stand right now, it looks like we're going to get a temporary speaker of the House, maybe Patrick McHenry. Jim Jordan so far has announced they're not going to take a third vote for him right now, and that they will kind of use that time to go behind closed doors to figure out who they choose for speaker. So next time they have a vote, which would be either right before the end of the year or right after the beginning of the new year, they're going to go to the floor. It won't be embarrassing. It won't take 12 hours, and they'll have that all locked up. People trust Patrick McHenry to do this job. Interestingly enough, I was the Students for Bush director in the Coalitions Department of the Bush-Cheney campaign in 2004. Patrick McHenry had that position in 2000. So go way back with him, way before he was a member of Congress, when he was assisting me, and he said, you know, here's all my files, here's all my documents. And, you know, between 2000 and 2004, there were some small incremental changes in the internet, but the truth is we were still doing things pretty similarly. Like, you know, I think I had two cell phones. I had my work BlackBerry, and I had my personal BlackBerry. I had that one, too, where you could, like, do the 1, 2, 3. Those BlackBerries, those were my favorite. I do miss BlackBerry, though.
Okay.
He's a guy who's been there long enough.
Right, by the whole company.
But he keeps his head below water. You probably have not heard the name a lot.
Never.
I kind of like that. I know where he is on the issues.
I didn't realize it was even him on screen. I thought it was like a random assistant.
Keep things calm. This is only till the end of the year.
Yeah.
And he'll be able to govern as speaker without worrying about being removed as speaker.
Right, because it's not really that deal.
So let's get the aid to Israel and things like that.
I was going to ask it. So the new rule for speaker, obviously we saw what the ramifications of that were, was that you could have essentially one.
It's absurd.
Does that now apply forever, or was that just for McCarthy?
That is the rule of the House right now.
This could become very UK, where all of a sudden we're swapping crazy.
If the Democrats take back the House, they could change it to whatever number they want.
Yeah.
If a different speaker comes forward, with more unity and behind them, they could change it as well. I think what we have learned is that, listen, I'm not against how Matt Gaetz votes on most issues. I mean, he's a conservative guy. I think they've really hurt us going out on a limb using a few people because they weren't thinking long term about what things could happen. What's the worst thing that could happen? I remember talking about it on the air. I said, Logan, what's the worst thing that could happen if we have no Speaker of the House? War breaks out. And we have to potentially put U.S. troops in harm's way. And guess what? U.S. troops are on their way to the Middle East.
I have a feeling
President Biden may be announcing tonight more U.S. troops or build at least a threat of that, and we don't have a speaker. So the worst case scenario to the voter out there, they're looking at this and saying, you know what? These guys can't govern. Now, I don't think they're necessarily saying that about Donald Trump. I think he's always had a disconnect. That's why Donald Trump can win an election and the House and Senate can be lost at the same time, Logan. It's like he just kind of transcends some of this. But I think, again, if you are Donald Trump, his strong statements have been, and I agree with him, and most people could make the statement, I do not believe we would be dealing with a war in Ukraine or the atrocity in Israel by Hamas if Donald Trump was president. I just don't believe. I think we were on track to basically building a huge military and business allies in the Middle East that Israel was included in to isolate Iran and its proxies, Hezbollah, and, of course, Hamas. But the Biden administration gave up on all that work, Logan. And look at where we are today. You know, I was planning our first international trip because we got offices all over the world. And I haven't seen our team, and Greg Orr has been doing, and Christoph, and our team at the ECLJ in Strasbourg, France, has been doing amazing work supporting Israel. I haven't even gotten to it yet on the broadcast. Will, where do I have that right here? I want to make sure I get it.
We'll get to
or
it.
Run it into, because they got something done at the European Union that has not been done, I don't think, ever. So I wanted to make sure to try to get over there while it was kind of like Thanksgiving vacation, so that I could really spend time with them and to also broadcast from there. And then you have to worry now because we've gotten an alert in the U.S., and they've already seen even higher alerts of terrorism coming back to the Western world. And Logan, that's what I think the American people are double concerned about, is sending our troops into harm's way. Of course, they want to stand with Israel, but by standing with Israel, I mean, you see they are beating the drumbeat, even in the streets of America. Their language is not about peace and love. It is war talk. It is like war drums, you know, that you're seeing down the street. And the inspiration for those one or two nuts who think that, you know, ISIS recruits them online. I mean, so we're concerned about it in the U.S. They're concerned about it in Europe. And it's like, so I remember pre-COVID had to cancel a trip to Europe because there were so many terrorist attacks happening by ISIS and their affiliates. Then we had COVID, and here we are yet again. You know, so it is unfortunate that we have to think about terrorism returning to the Western world on a large scale that we haven't had to deal with for maybe a little less than a decade, but you know, a decent amount of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that people need to understand that the work of the ACLJ, because of this, it's a worldwide sense.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
I can go through what we just got done.
Yeah, we should. Tonight, though, again, I did want to bring this up because people may not even know this, that President Biden will be making an address tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Oval Office
address.
Big deal.
Now, typically, do we know, I mean, have they given any indication on, I mean, we can draw some stuff.
Maybe about Israel and Ukraine.
So we know Israel and Ukraine. Yep. And a little bit of the concern is that those two topics get lumped together.
Well, I think what he's going to try to do, if I was him, is say, listen, we're fighting, and Dad wrote the book. Do I have it right here where it says, you know, China, Russia, and Iran?
Yep.
Okay, so China and Russia are backing Hamas and Iran.
Unholy Alliance.
Iran is backing North Korea, China, and Russia. They're all condemning Israel. In fact, some people wonder if even Russia had to be part of the green light for this move by Hamas.
That would be pretty hardcore.
So I think he's going to try to make the case, and we've been saying this.
I mean, then we're in a world war, though.
You know, but how many times have we said it, Logan, though? And Mike Pompeo said it, and Rick Grenell said it, that they have got to make the case to the American people about why are we even funding the Ukrainian conflict. So it's not hard to make that case about Israel, because Americans have that deep connection to Israel. They know they are an ally.
I think that's why you see actually so many
Democrats. Ukraine wasn't really an ally. They weren't an enemy, but they weren't an ally.
You see so many Democrats, traditional Democrats, supporting Israel pretty aggressively.
I see Moskowitz, Congressman Moskowitz is on, when I'm driving to work and coming home from work, he's on Fox more than Republicans right now, standing up on Israel.
And that's honestly my concern. My concern when you lump in the Ukrainian war and the war in Israel is that I don't even want to put Republicans as the label.
The MAGA world.
The MAGA world goes, this is us getting into another war. War is war. Therefore, Israel bad. And that is my concern, because that is going to be, and not that I want to go into a war. I certainly do not.
No.
But I do see a very big difference between, and look, you've seen it now, the way people position it. I saw a lot of posts yesterday, even, don't shame your friends for not posting. They're trying to get educated. Where were you with the beginning of the war in Ukraine? You knew everything about the geopolitics of Russia and Ukraine immediately, and you were ready to show your support for what was clear, at least at the moment, a good and bad situation. This one could not be clearer, and still you have this. You have some of the most hardcore left.
Well, I want you to understand, too, and he might utilize this tonight. There was three drones attacked U.S. military bases in Iraq yesterday. Thank God none of our servicemen and women were killed, but there were injuries. Those were Iranian made. Yep. Absolutely. Or because they're fired by Shiite militias operating inside Iraq. So they have upped. When's the last time you heard about our U.S. troops being fired upon by drones in Iraq?
No.
Okay.
You forget that. I mean, it sounds bad. So you forget Iraq is even happening.
You put all this together, and I'm not saying he's going to declare war and be sending, you know, we're going to war with Iran tonight. I'm not expecting that. What I am expecting is to say, I need this from Congress, and I'm sending this many more troops to the region.
And get yourself a speaker.
So basically a buildup.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to get that partisan. I think he knows, Logan, he's got to explain Ukraine. And I think he's thinking he can explain Ukraine because he'll compare it to Israel, and people understand that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we'll see. So. This is all speculation. But he wouldn't be doing this address tonight for no reason. You don't bring the attention inside the Oval Office if you have nothing to say. I mean, and if he does do something like that, he's downgrading the United States even more. Because remember, when you announce an Oval Office address, Logan, guess who else is watching? The entire world.
Yeah.
Putin's watching. Xi is watching.
He needs a PR bump, is watching, if you will.
Yeah, internationally as well.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so we'll take...
Because he's not appearing strong on the world stage.
So we come back. We'll take your phone calls. So if you've been holding on, we're getting them to you. 1-800-684-3110. But let me encourage you, folks, we're doubling our efforts in Israel. As we've told you, we're already working on parts 2 and 3 of what we've done in Israel. I did not even tell you yet what we got done at the European Union, where you think, oh, it must be impossible to get anything done there. Not for our European Center for Law and Justice, it wasn't. You're going to be really excited about what we did there and how it directly cuts funding to Hamas. So we'll explain that to you when we get back. Become an ACLJ champion, a recurring donor at aclj.org/champion. Secular. So we're going to get right to your calls, but I want to announce, you know, we've been doing step-by-step these different moves and filings at the UN, at the international institutions. We're working on ICC. We are working even potentially on Interpol and Hamas funders. But we had our European Center for Law and Justice team at the Council of Europe. And what they have been working on is the defunding of Hamas by the European Parliament. And that European Parliament meets sometimes in Strasbourg and sometimes in Brussels. And I just want to announce, and well, just to make sure it's clear, this for the first time has passed with 499 European Parliament members voting yes on declaring Hamas a terrorist group. They also will stop the funding to Hamas.
They're doing a review of where the funding goes to, and so that's
Yeah, so here's what we've got from the European Union. And this is all new, and it's because of the European Center for Law and Justice. We have great relationships with European Parliament members from all over the world. And our French team is working with, you know, leaders from other countries. And Gregor and Christophe and the whole team, let me say, if you're listening, thank you for your great work here. Because, again, that's a huge majority vote when you get to 499 supporting Israel. This is inside the Council of Europe, Logan. So don't think when you see those protests all over the world that we've lost Europe to Israel, because most of those European Parliament members supported Israel. So what did they do first? They labeled Hamas a terrorist group again, and so that adds them not only to the Council of Europe, but also to the European Union list. They have called for the release of all hostages held in Gaza. That is, again, the Council of Europe. They've also pointed out that there should be no tolerance for terrorism, the glorification of violence of those calling for the destruction of Israel and Jewish life. So they are directly attacking these protest movements we're seeing that aren't just saying, oh, this is bad, let's just get to a peaceful spot, but actually condemning Israel as war criminals, as evil, even when they were the ones who were attacked. So they're actually calling for support for Israel, Logan, at the Council of Europe. That's not something you oftentimes expect so publicly, especially in that region of the world. They condemn in the strongest possible terms. This is official, okay, from the Council of Europe. They condemn in the strongest possible terms the despicable terrorist attacks committed by the terrorist group Hamas against Israel and express its support for the state of Israel and its people. It reiterates that the terrorist organization, listen to this, folks, the terrorist organization Hamas needs to be eliminated. This is coming, folks, not from the U.S. House of Representatives, who, by the way, as of now, couldn't pass a resolution like that. This is coming from the European Parliament. And our team put this language together. Worked with Parliament members from around Europe. And we've got not only this just condemnation of this entire act, but, Logan, we've got the Council of Europe now endorsing the complete and total elimination of the Islamic Resistance Movement, acronym it goes by, Hamas.
Yeah, because We also have organizations like the ACLJ.
That's why it happened.
Exclusively. That's what I'm saying.
We did all the work. You know, these parliamentarians of Council of Europe are very small teams. They do. They just have small teams.
I know. It just seems like it should be big.
And so I think Farage was part of it. You know, Nigel Farage probably one of them. So they go to groups like ours that they trust. So we put together all of the work.
Yeah.
Which is, again, it was like what we do kind of in Washington, D.C. for members.
That's how your government works.
But I just wanted to remind people that our team in France, you think France, and they show you all these protests. And a lot of they do have a lot of immigrants from North Africa. And that's their history. But there are a lot of French citizens who, I'd say the majority, who support Israel, who support the West, who don't hate America. At most, they just sometimes kind of funny and laugh.
Well, it's not even for them, for Europe, it's a lot closer to.
How important it is that the ACLJ's built these relationships. We didn't give up on these institutions. The Europeans came to us, Logan. They said, we can get things done. In the Council of Europe. It might seem uphill. Hey, we can win at the ICC. They may not like us being there, but ultimately they have to side with what is true, right, and what is the right interpretation of the law. If we have it, we will win. And so I think it's just a glimmer of hope, folks, to know that the world has not completely turned against Israel. These nuts in the streets, remember, they're very good at organizing. They don't represent the majority of anyone.
Well, speaking of which, let's go to Kevin, who's calling in Florida online too. Kevin, you're on the air.
Hello, how you doing? Yeah, I was wondering, is there some way that y'all can do anything about trying to get Rashid Tlaib and Ilhan Omar removed from office and charged with treason for what they're doing and voicing their support for terrorism against?
Okay, I'd say this: the first thing that Congress could do is censure, and right now we can't do that, Kevin. Because there's no Speaker of the House. Now, if there's a Speaker pro tem under McHenry, you might be able to start that censure process. And I think some of the squad members, by the way, have disavowed this. There's been a couple that have left these groups. So it's gone down. They're actually losing support in the House. So I almost wonder, Kevin, do you want them to stop talking? Or do you want to let them talk themselves into political, no man's land? Where they're left with no support and they ultimately don't get reelected. And we can kind of see that this might be popular on college campuses and in some very liberal activist groups, but you know, it's a handful of members of Congress and even they are being exposed as extremists. Now, treason, they can speak their mind on these issues. Unless, Hamas was, declaring war on the U.S., they can have their opinion on foreign policy. Certainly. So I don't think it rises to the level of treason or anything like that. Could you remove them? That would have to go through an ethics review. That's usually ethics. So I think the first step is we must have a speaker, and then we will start supporting a call for a censure vote. That's the first step. After that, we'll see how they react, and then you can go from there. I'm not saying they can never be removed. I'm just saying that's not the first step that happens.
All right, let's go ahead. Try to take one more call. Let's go to Susan, who's calling in Virginia on line 3. Susan, you're on the air. The others, I'm sorry, we just couldn't get to you today. Ran out of time. Susan, you're on the air.
Yeah, a lot of content.
Thank you. I wanted to make a comment. I was listening to Steve Bannon, the War Room, and others, and he's mentioned Patrick McHenry as a temporary speaker would be very, very bad. Partly because he's very close to McCarthy. McCarthy has had since January to use the appropriations, which is basically the power that the Congress, U.S. Representatives has, to get things done. He's had since January to close the border.
Anytime he passed legislation, Democrats voted it down. I mean, so it's not going to make it to the president's desk. I mean, Kevin McCarthy was in a tough spot. You could pass great legislation, and they did. And guess what? Chuck Schumer wouldn't even let it be called up for a vote. I'm trying to be an apologist for Kevin McCarthy. That's old news now. I do think what you have to understand is McHenry would be a placeholder so that we can make sure we can get funding to Israel, to make sure we don't have another government shutdown, Susan, so people get their Social Security checks on time. Our military is getting paid, especially as they're being called up into closer and closer into more conflict zones like Israel, with Iran making those threats. So McHenry, again, would be temporary, that would allow Republicans to then go behind closed doors, stop embarrassing themselves with these failed votes, and have a speaker by the new year. So I don't think you have to worry about them too much. We got to get the work done.
Yeah, that's right. And our office, even in Jerusalem, has some big action right now. Tomorrow, we're sending a major letter of support to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Our message is clear. You can be on that letter. Get your name on it right now. Go to ACLJ.org and become an ACLJ champion today.